Welcome to the Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keeley. We have four people on tonight. We have Molly Rose, Mac Robinson, and of course, Donovan. How's everybody doing? Mac, I guess we'll start with you because I'm going counterclockwise here. Clockwise. How you doing, Mac?
I'm good, Josh. I'm good. Happy to be on, man.
And you are now with Browns Brawl, correct?
Yes. With the Brawl Network. Yeah, we're just getting going and super excited with what we got going on over there, man.
Nice. Very excited. Molly, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you excited? What'd you say?
This is my first ever podcast.
Is it really?
This is the first time I've ever been on a podcast. Yeah, I'm not cool, but
very cool. We're excited to have you on. And Donovan, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. If I got my kombucha, I'm good. So
getting ready to do your big move to Tennessee.
Yeah, man. Chattanooga. Let's go. I'm ready for it. One more week.
I'm so excited for you to move in with your woman and that crap behind you is gonna be taken down and she's gonna be in charge of telling you what to do, and you're not gonna be drinking and cool anymore.
My Saturdays for the boys flags is gone already, dude.
Uh-huh. So, your whole life is ended. my fiance moved all my crap into one room, dude. And really? She just
all the Browns and Brown stuff and the Ohio
State
stuff.
They're like in tubs. The only thing I got out of my autographed mini helmets because there's nowhere to put them. So they're just kind of interface, which I don't know if Mac, you didn't see this, but I completed the domestic violence trifecta this past week. I got the Ray Rice autographed Ravens helmet, the Kareem Hunt autographed Toledo helmet, and the Darius Geis autographed LSU helmet.
Oh no, God!
You need a Tyreek Hill one too,
huh?
You need a Tyreek Hill one too,
dude. You know what? I thought about that during the Chiefs game. I was like, dude, that sucks.
Should I send you my OJ signed jersey?
Oh my God, I'm just kidding. That's a whole other level of violence.
I just have a bunch of USC stuff, and I mean, fight on.
I sent that same text to another buddy of mine, and he was like, bro, you're not even scratching the surface. And he sent me a list of like 25 guys.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was like, oh, that's hardly it.
This is depressing.
Way to kick it off, Jeff.
Yeah, man.
What? Okay. I'm sorry.
This is why he lost the Twitter bet, because I'm romantic. He's talking about domestic violence. I'm talking about watching The Notebook, bro. You're talking about collecting domestic violence helmets.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I'm really upset with my followers. They're small but mighty and passionate. You know, we got a couple. You know, we're constantly getting people that hit us up about the trapped player that we were doing trapped player the week. For a while, because they're headstrong, look ready to take on anyone, and the Arby's. I feel like I got a pretty strong following, so I was really upset when Donovan and I released a poll yesterday. If you were to have a date with your significant other in the middle of a football field, what song and movie would you have? And I got like 3 votes compared to Donovan wiping me out, and Donovan picked the worst shit possible.
I picked The Hills by The Weeknd as the song over the PA, and I picked The Notebook as the.
What are you, a seventh grader? Bro, just hoping for some over the bra action, bro.
What?
That's lame.
I don't have a comeback for that. I usually do, but that was not a seventh grader. But I mean, I won
Encino Man.
Nobody wants to watch Encino Man, bro. Like,
what are you talking about? That's a classic. I'm getting so sick of having this conversation with
Space
you.
Jam's a classic, but nobody would pick that.
Oh, bullshit. Space Jam doesn't hold a candle to Encino Man, bro.
Bro, he's a Pauly Shore guy. I don't know why. But...
Love Pauly Shore. Matt, what would your answers be? You're going to be
easy. I sided with Donovan on this one, man.
No, you got to pick your own two.
No, that's just you got
Mac. No, I'm going to start with Diamond on this one. You're not throwing me in the spot like this, okay? I'm not about to throw down like this.
He strikes me as the Trading Places by Usher kind of guy. It's very slow. Yeah. It's either that or Chili Peppers. He likes it just because, you know, you can get that pelvis moving to Danny, California. It's one or the other, dude. No?
I'd be more in the Usher camp. I will figure. Say that.
You romantic. I think
Purple Rain by Prince would be good.
That's a good one. You know, he believed in chemtrails.
I did not. No, yeah, no. I knew that.
Yeah, dude, he was super passionate about chemtrails. Molly, what were your answers going
to
be?
Again, you put me in the spot like this. Does anybody listen to the Avett Brothers?
Who?
They're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be like a nice slow, like it's like folk. I listen to weird music. Don't like. It's not that weird. It's like folk rock. Movie, I'd be like, I don't know why this isn't romantic at all, but if I'm gonna watch something on like a giant screen like that, like Avengers: Infinity War.
That's not bad.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
Okay. I can get behind that.
You know what I mean?
I can get
behind that. Like, that's like an epic movie. Like that's.
That's yeah. Or that's like
you can't. Yes.
That's better than a movie I picked for sure.
Yeah. 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 I mean, there's really no like wrong answers as far as movies go, other than like Schindler's List. You probably shouldn't watch that.
Although Django, I don't know if you want to have too good of a movie because I mean, again, if you're with your significant other, like
you're not watching.
How invested in the movie do you want to be?
Oh yeah,
my
favorite movie of all time is Wolf of Wall Street, so that I might be picking that for sure.
Okay,
that's a good movie. That's a classic.
Yeah.
Fun fact: I don't know if I'm allowed to say on the podcast. Never mind. I'll tell you guys later. But I have a unique Wolf of Wall Street.
You've said a lot of stuff on this. You've said a lot of stuff, Josh, already on this podcast.
Yeah.
I have a connection to someone who. And I was like, dude, no way, prove it. It was whatever. Anyways, let's talk about some football. We got obviously the Browns lost. Donovan and I talked about the loss quite a bit. So I'm a little depressed, but I don't think we really have much more to say. But Mac, do you have any unique thoughts on the loss?
I will say this. I think that I was more encouraged. And basically looking at this team coming into the year, I thought that they were definitely taking a step in the right direction, obviously making it to the playoffs and getting the win. That was huge. But given where the expectations were coming into the year, most people are saying around 9 to 10 wins, coming away with 11 wins and a playoff win, especially with a defense that was mainly band-aided together with a lot of one-year deals. Mm-hmm. I think that they looked at it as this team was 1 year away at least. But for them to make it that far with the defense basically – band-aided together and kind of stuck together with rope pretty much at this point. I like what they were able to do. And especially, you know, given what happened with the constant injuries to the offensive line and the constant jostling that we saw on the offensive line. I really like where this team is at. And I think that, you know, with another year and a full off season, you know, I know Kevin Stefanski talked about it, Baker and Chubb apparently are excited to not have to learn a new offense for the first time in their career. So I'm excited to see what they're able to do and what they're able to build upon for year two.
Yeah, you bring up – I think Donovan and I talked about the defense being banded together. You know, if you would have told us that they were the if you would have told us 6 months ago that the Cleveland Browns would be the last team standing in the AFC North and they were going to hold the Super Bowl champions Kansas City Chiefs to 22 points, we would have laughed in your face. But that is the reality of the situation today. Molly, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it stung a little bit. And I – obviously, everyone's been talking about the touchback rule and how that – should be able to be reviewed no matter what the situation is. But I think definitely like, especially if you told me this like 2 years ago that this would have happened, like that's unreal. And I also think the touchback rule isn't an excuse though. Like I'm excited to see what we'll do, but like, I think the first half felt slower than the second. And like, I remember I tweeted before the game, like the biggest key is like, we can't play catch up with Kansas City. Like, we're not going to play catch up with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Like, they're an explosive offense. And I think it was a pleasant surprise and a lot of hope.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point about the touchback rule. Donovan and I talked about that a little bit, but not really super in depth yesterday. You know, you saw a lot of people on Cleveland Browns Twitter complain about that rule. Oh, that rule sucks.
I think the review is the problem. Not the touchback rule itself, but the helmet there not being allowed.
I will agree. That does suck. That was a disgrace because that's more about – you shouldn't do that because that's an injury concern. You can't put your head straight down. That's an issue. But the touchback rule, we saw a lot of people on Cleveland Browns Twitter bitch about that rule. But that rule's been around for a while. And like I told Donovan, you know, I didn't play pro football, but that's a pretty – we were always taught – as soon as you get the first down, everything else is gravy. Your number one concern is to protect that ball. That rule's been around forever. So that's – I agree with you when you say that it's kind of an excuse. And I don't think that they were going to win anyways. I feel like the Chiefs did enough to where they were going to scoot away with the victory, even with
the way the timing was too.
Yes.
When it was,
too. It was definitely a dagger. It was definitely a kick to the crotch of the momentum that the Browns were building for sure. And I'm not taking that away, but I do agree with you in the fact that I think it was more of an excuse than anything. Donovan, anything else you want to add? Or we talked about this at
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a whole episode about it yesterday. So I mean, I just I hate it, but you gotta be very optimistic about next year. I think coming in, that was a really good point Mac brought up. I didn't even bring that up, or neither of us did yesterday about Baker and Chubb and those guys having the same play caller and the same head coach. That's a big deal, man, because I think a lot of Baker's lows were not having the same head coach and that stability, really. So I think that's a huge deal that we didn't bring up yesterday. But, yeah,
other than that,
I don't have anything.
I do want to bring up the fact that, because I know a lot of people will bring up that the timing of Baker getting comfortable with the offense, and it just so happened to be the same week that Odell goes down. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's because Odell was out that all of a sudden he did better. It's a comfort factor. And not only that, it takes, I believe it took like Kirk Cousins like a year and a half to get comfortable, and that's the fancy offense. Mm-hmm. So for Baker to go ahead and get to that point in probably 2 months, 2.5 months, was a huge step for Baker.
Without a preseason too.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. So given the fact that you're 6 weeks into the season, you had a 6 week off season, at least
for those that can't see Mac, because most of our listens come via MP3. Mac is using the air quotations pretty much every other word.
Yes. So quite frequently. But I think that I want to see what happens, especially with them not having to learn a new offense in year two. And especially getting Odell back at full strength with that offense, now having a full year under its belt, I want to see what they're able to do with that big play threat that I thought that they were missing severely in that game against Kansas City, especially.
Fast receiver, the outside too.
So yeah. I don't think anybody would disagree with you. I saw Molly shaking her head. Donovan, I talked about this yesterday. You touched on a bunch of different topics there. You talked about the shortened offseason. You talked about the receiver core a little bit. You talked about, the defense being banded together. I want to dissect that, first of all, to fill up this podcast. Second of all, because it's all interesting. Sure. So let's talk about the wide receiver core, okay? You talked about how you do not believe that OBJ is tearing this offense apart. Donovan and I talked about this topic at length a couple weeks ago, and I stand by it. Donovan, if you don't agree with me anymore, please let me know and speak up. But we kind of both agreed that it was a little bit more the Randy Moss effect, where Baker felt like he had to force the ball to OBJ, but that's not OBJ's fault. That's Baker Mayfield's responsibility, and that's something I think he can grow into. It's not a big deal. A lot of quarterbacks do it to where they have to grow into still going through their reads and not relying on one receiver. I don't think that is a detriment to the offense. I think that is just an adjustment that needs to be made. With a full offseason, I think that adjustment can be made. We all agreed that the receiver core is lacking that breakaway speed. OBJ has that. OBJ is a pure all-star, number one wide receiver. So having him back in the fold, I think, can only help them. Now,
I agree with you on that. We did talk about my guy Donovan Peoples-Jones, though, because he's the guy on that offense and that receiving core that could do that. But he's a long way away from the route.
He's not OBJ. Yeah.
No, he's not. But I mean, I don't know, man. Like I'm leaning like 51% like Odell coming back, 49 not, just because like I think with those three, I just think with those three tight ends and like the receivers they have, like Higgins is a lot better than people think, dude. Like I mean, so
I also think though, like at the least, yes, they come back this season. If anything, trade him before the deadline, but not just like
no. That's what I said last night.
Yeah, I said last night.
Listen to offers, but bring him back for 1 year and then. After that, we'll see. But I mean, because they're going to get offers for him. But I'd try one more year out with them.
Andrew Berry's always been a genius about. We talked about this last night too, because obviously the offseason's coming up, and everybody keeps talking about getting rid of one of these wide receivers, whether it's OBJ or Jarvis Landry. Andrew Berry is a great GM. Great GMs listen to every single offer, just like they evaluate every single player. Last night on the podcast, I talked about there was a rumor floating around about how Andrew Berry called up Cam Newton. That is a fact. They looked and they kicked the tires on Cam Newton. That does not mean that they did not like Baker. That just means that they're looking at other options. They also paid Case Keenum over $7 million to sit the bench. That, and that to some, for some reason, that was an indicator to some that they did not like Baker Mayfield. That's not true at all. Andrew Berry is going to kick the tires. I do not, I still think that you bring back OBJ. I still think you bring back Jarvis Landry. I know that every statistical piece of evidence says to not do that, says to get rid of Jarvis Landry. And I understand that and I respect that. And I do think that this offense can be just as good without Landry, just like it was just as good without OBJ. But I think that the odds of it being worse is probably more friendly. I think that he is a consistent receiver. I don't think that he gets open, but I think that he catches the close balls. I think that he is a motivational kind of energy-driven player, and I think that the team needs that. Molly, what do you think? I see you nodding your head a lot.
I think he also played with, what was it, like two cracked ribs or something?
What, did he?
The season? Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oops, forgot that.
I think that's part of it, and I think everyone's numbers, too, this season, especially, I don't think it's a bad thing, like, team-wise. I think what allowed Baker to thrive in some games is that, like you said earlier, he doesn't have that issue with OBJ. Like, they're looking for one person, but it is spread around so much. So I think it might make some of those receivers, their numbers look worse, like, stats-wise. But you watch the game, and it's not that those receivers aren't doing their job. They're doing their job. It's just the ball's getting spread around more than it does on other teams.
I will say that I think that they had six or seven drops this past week. Well, granted, Nick Chubb had three.
Nick had half of them.
but that's the thing. Do that for him. Browns fans kind of deserve that after the shit they gave J.K. Dobbins the day before. That was karma.
Yeah, that was kind of karma.
That was goddamn karma. But I do think that Jarvis Landry is more consistent than those other receivers. I think Rashard Higgins is great. Don't tell me, Donovan, don't talk shit about my love for Rashard Higgins runs deep.
No, I didn't say
you. Yeah,
you won me two college football fantasy championships at Colorado State, bro.
No, I didn't say you. I just meant people in general. Like, they really weren't – they don't talk about him. He's good, man. And like I said, those three tight ends, really, that's what I like on their team is, like, the fact that they have –
David and Joe.
I'm a huge Harrison Bryant's going to be Bryant
He kind of faded late, though. He did fade late. I'm sorry, Molly, what'd you say?
I said it makes for a diverse offense, though. I mean, I think that's what shows, like, our team's potential to be so great is the tight ends. If OBJ were to come back and be able to click with Baker and also have, obviously, double-headed monster, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Yes. So that is the problem, though, is that the offense, to be truly effective or diverse or whatever – you do need that deep threat. Because you have a lot of players that do that. That's the problem, is that you have a lot of players that do the same thing. Rashard Higgins and Jarvis Landry are kind of different versions of each other. David Njoku is really the only unique athlete, because he is that freak. You know, he's dealt with some inconsistencies in his career too, but it looks like he's put a lot of that behind him because he's had some great games. Mm-hmm. But Austin Hooper, Harrison Bryant, those tight ends are all kind of, you know, the very – tight ends are weird because even if they're not similar, they have a similar purpose, but they really do need to add. Donovan Peoples-Jones does fill that need. Kadarius Hodge is another guy. I don't think Kadarius Hodge is the answer there, but they do need another player of that caliber. I'm trying to think of some late-round wide receivers that, you know, might spark their interest. But, like, I mean, you know, Ohio State doesn't really have a bunch of diverse wide receivers.
Like a Tylan Wallace in the third round if he drops a little bit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude.
I mean, that's
– oh, my God. For those that don't know – see, Donovan, you're doing it again. Donovan knows so much about so many football players that he just throws the name out there and hope it sticks. Tylan Wallace is the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying
– I appreciate that. I still need to dig into draft prospects this year now.
Yeah, this is just a big receiver draft. Like, I mean, you got a guy like Tyler Vaughn's kind of late. That will be in that third down range from some USC. Now he's not like a big speedster, but he can run.
He's like 6'4".
Tyler Vaughn's he's like six. Yeah, close.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm all about that, dude. He kind of had a rough year. Yeah, did he? I mean, it's so hard to tell about the stats. There's like eight games.
No, he didn't have a rough year, man. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Michael, not Pittman, because he's gone. The other kid there, Drake London, emerged for USC. They only played seven games, you know what I mean? So Stat-wise, it looks like that, but he really did have a good season. He's the best route runner on the team, to me. That's what you want. I mean, we'll see. There's a bunch of receivers in this.
It'll be interesting to see how they attack that, because there is a lot of needs on the defensive side of the ball. And
yeah, let's draft some linebackers.
Yeah, we talked about
Zayvon Collins, please.
What?
But Zayvon Collins out of Tulsa, please.
Well, the problem with him, he's great. He's great, by the way. Love him. I had him on my marker. He had a great last year, too. No one talks about his season last year because Tulsa was a goddamn dumpster fire last season, and he was great. Tulsa usually has those shitty, like.
What about Baron Browning, dude?
Baron Browning's okay. Baron Browning is okay.
Or Pete Warner?
I think that they're okay. I think that here's, you want to hear it. You want to hear the shocker? All the
Ohio State fans right here.
you want to hear my hot take on the Ohio State linebackers?
Yeah, I want to hear it. Let's go.
I think Tuff Borland has a chance to have the best NFL career.
Really? That is a hot take. Really?
I think he's like a shitty version of Zach Thomas. I think he's going to fill a niche. He's going to fill a hole. He doesn't miss tackles. I think if you put him in a position to where he's not doing too much, he can be successful. At Ohio State, he played every snap, played every down. You know, they put him in weird. They were constantly running man, so he was constantly placed on Devontae. I mean, he was on Devontae Smith like three routes, dude. Never going to happen in the NFL.
I like Baron a lot, man. I like him.
He's okay. I think that Hilliard also has a chance to be kind of a sleeper, just because he's one of those guys that was so bumped and bruised and injured that I don't think he ever got a chance to get into his group, but that's a former five-star recruit, has a lot of athletic ability. I don't know how his body's going to hold up at the next level. So I think Tuff Borland is my big sleeper. I think he's like a shitty Zach Thomas.
Is that a compliment? Like,
dude, Zach Thomas was what? Like, he was like the Pro Bowl like 10 times, right?
He's in the Hall of Fame, right? I think.
No,
he's a finalist.
Is he a finalist?
He's a finalist.
Yeah, he's a finalist this year.
Yeah,
dude.
So hoping he waits until next year so we can get Clay Matthews in there this year.
Yeah, my Twitter's full of that. But let's talk about the defense. We gotta go off topic there, the draft stuff. So there's a lot of controversy on Twitter about Joe Woods. Someone actually hit me up today and asked the question, and then when I answered it, they got super aggressive because they didn't like my answer. They said, "Hey, Wade Phillips is coming out of retirement. Should we fire Joe Woods and hire Wade Phillips?" And I said, "No, I think Joe Woods showed me enough." And then
calm down.
He proceeded to be very upset with me for saying that. Here's what I like what Joe Woods did. TJ Ward was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he has a lot of love for the man. And I agree with him. I think that he was dealt kind of a shitty hand. This is a defensive backfield that lost two of its starters before the season even started. This is, you know, we lost Myles Garrett for two whole games. And then
after that,
yeah, and he wasn't the same when he came back. You know, we didn't have Olivia Vernon for any of the offseason. You know,
Wyatt Teller. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Sorry. We're talking about defense.
But this was not. I thought he did a lot. You know, and a lot of people are upset about how he handled the Chiefs game because they ran a very vanilla defense. I also think that was the appropriate call. If anything, if I had to judge the two, and I thought Kevin Stefanski had a good game too as a coach, Kevin Stefanski coached a weirder game than Joe Woods because Joe Woods did what he had to do. You have to sit against a team like Patrick Mahomes with your lack of speed at corner. Yeah. You have to sit in zone and let the game come to you, and that's what they did. They held the Chiefs to 22 points and Tyreek Hill to zero touchdowns. If I would have told you that 4 months ago, you would have had a goddamn smile on your face. So I'm really kind of feeling weird about this animosity towards Joe Woods. Molly, do you want to take this one? What, you got any comments on that?
Yeah, I think I think it's like a correlation versus causation thing, kind of like when people saying, "Oh, OBJ leaving made him better." I don't think Joe Woods made our defense bad. I think having holes and not having the best linebackers that could keep up or made our defense not where it needed to beat the Chiefs. And
I agree with that. And we talked a lot about I think it was you, Mac, in our group chat about the 1 year contracts. Maybe it was Tim. I can't remember about the 1 year. Maybe I think it was you on the 1 year contracts on that defensive side. Well, you know, everybody's like, "Well, look how the offense had all those injuries and they looked great." Yeah, the offense did have injuries. You know, Molly, you point out why. I'm sorry.
Our offense just has more depth, like in our
that's kind of what I was thinking is that when they everything that they put a lot of time, money, and commitment to the offensive side of the ball via free agency with Austin Hooper, Wyatt Teller, keeping Kendall Lamb, keeping Chris Hubbard. For the longest time, we thought Chris Hubbard was going to be gone. He came back. You know, this is a guy who started off the tackle. Now he's, you know, the third option. So that to me is a big deal. That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at Andrew Sendejo, who was signed on a 1-year deal at the age of 40, who was supposed to be on the bench. And now you're playing him out of position. We got a glimpse of him playing a position that he's better at with the in-the-box safety, only playing, 10 to 15 snaps. And he played really goddamn well on the back end because we were incorporating Ronnie Harrison.
A lot better than he did most of the season.
Exactly. We got a glimpse of that. But remember, we got Ronnie Harrison in the middle of the season. He didn't really get to play at the end. I feel like the defense, once we allocate those funds and really focus on that, we got a glimpse of what Joe Woods can do. Matt, what do you think?
Well, the one thing I was going to say too, and I know I tweeted this after the game, but one of the biggest losses that the defense had was Andrew Billings opting out before the season began, because he was going to be that big run stopper. People forget that, you know, he was supposed to push Larry Ogunjobi in the middle when it came to who was going to start at nose tackle this year. So with him being out, the only multi-year deal really that you gave out last year on defense was Adrian Claiborne. That was for $6 million total. So the way that I look at this, like what we talked about before, you know, it was kind of band-aided together. I'll give Andrew Berry credit for bringing in Malcolm Smith and BJ Goodson. Both of those guys overperformed what they have done previously. I would say this because free agency – I'm sorry, what did you say, Josh?
Both those guys sucked. Malcolm Smith had a couple games.
I would say this from a Pro Football Focus ranking standpoint. Those guys outperformed what you'd expect for $3 million for a veteran minimum, essentially.
You're getting into a different argument because now you're talking about. So, okay, if that's your argument, then yes, I agree with you because I don't know. You know what your statistical expectations are via the salary cap. All I know is that when BJ Goodson went to go tackle Daryl Williams on 3rd-and-1, he fell on his ass and they got the first down. You know what I mean? And he did that stuff a lot. Malcolm Smith, I may be a little harsh when I say he sucked this year because he actually did have a couple of games and a couple of plays where I went, well, damn, you know, really good coverage. He was
for a guy that I literally looked at coming into this season as veteran depth, as literally a guy where, okay, occasionally we can utilize him. He played a lot more snaps than I expected. And again, for where he's at in his career, he outperformed what I expected of him this year. So I would say that.
How about Goodson or Smith?
Smith.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, but especially too, I'll give credit. MJ Stewart getting picked up off waivers before the season. I thought he outperformed Kevin Johnson and Kevin Johnson. If you told me one of these two guys made $6 million, I would have thought that it was MJ Stewart, not Kevin Johnson.
That's fair. You know, MJ Stewart was kind of a hot topic because he got burnt. When he first got with the Browns, he got burnt pretty early and pretty often. That was the guy I really liked out of North Carolina. I thought he was very aggressive at the line of scrimmage. That ended up kind of being what hurt him in the NFL because he was so aggressive in the ACC because he could be, because he wasn't going up against guys that had Tyreek Hill speed every play. Ended up hurting him in the NFL because he doesn't exactly have the size to push around at the line of scrimmage. But I do think he had a pretty solid year. I'd like to see him come around next year.
Now, I will say, I do think that they added – I think if you're the Browns, one, I'm not counting on Greedy Williams next year. I'm really not.
Everybody keeps saying that.
Me neither. Grant Delpit, yeah.
Delpit, I will say like this. I wonder what he's probably my biggest X factor for next year because, again, you're talking about an Achilles injury. You know, coming back from that, that's a tough injury to come back from in any sport.
You worry about that.
Yeah.
He's what, 24? So I mean, if you are gonna do it, you know.
Yeah,
everybody's yawning on me. Hold on. So Mac, you're counting out both Delpit and Williams. You think they're both?
I'm not counting out Delpit. I'm not. I'm saying he's an X factor, but I'm not sure what to expect. But Greedy,
are you planning on Delpit playing next year? Or are you revolving the offseason? Okay. Molly, are you planning on both those guys being back next year? Because if you are, they're both starting, correct?
Yeah, I think Delpit, I think it's really upsetting though, because I think he was going to make a bigger impact than people give him credit for. Like, I think excited to see him. And then you hear what was it, a week into practice or something, mm-hmm. that he tore his Achilles, and you're like, shit, his Achilles. Like, that is something that people don't come back from. But like I said, you hope he can bounce back because he is fresh out of college. But God, it would suck if he didn't.
Right.
Are you counting out Greedy Williamson?
I don't want to. I like him. I don't want to. I'm going to say no. I'm saying I'm not counting him out.
Okay, Donovan, where are you at?
I wouldn't put too much stock in Greedy Williams, to be honest.
Neither am I.
I'm not putting money on him. I'm just not counting him out.
If you okay, so well now
I'm,
see
they're not counting on him.
Here's the difference.
If I'm you're counting, counting I'm in, counting him out. I'm counting him out.
If you're counting Greedy in, you have a strong defense. You have your two cornerbacks. You're not drafting a cornerback early. If you're counting Greedy out, you're staring down the barrel of drafting a cornerback early. So there's a big goddamn difference there.
Yeah, I'm counting them out.
You can't go another season with Terrence Mitchell there.
No, you can't. But I mean, you gotta find value, man. You don't have to get a corner. Like, I have to look at the draft. This is where, like, you know, we're draft nerds, man. You can't just be drafted. You got to look at the whole depth of the draft corners and see where one falls and everything. The draft is.
Let's use. And I have no board. I have no nothing.
Yeah,
that's from the hip. But if you talk about the history of the draft, guys that have that unique combination of speed and size, they're pretty much gone after the third round. Right?
You need a two corner though. You got Denzel Ward, a top five corner in the NFL, on the other side.
Look
at the teams that are left though. They don't. I mean, Jair's great, but look at the other side.
Jair's great.
Yeah, but Denzel's great.
Kevin King.
He's solid. He's all right.
Better than Terrence Mitchell.
No, but I'm not. But you can get a Kevin King in the late round. I know Packers picked him first.
In the second round.
The second round.
Second.
Okay, second. That's fine. But
you can't say, bro. You can get that guy in the seventh round all day long, and then they draft him the second round.
But you sound like you're saying like second, third. Okay, you can wait till the third. Like, you don't have to do a first round or second round. You can wait.
I'll say this: I think this is a good free agency class for defense as well. I think you can't discount that either.
I just think Grant Delpit, Delpit coming back is big. I do count him in. I know that was your next question. I think he'll be ready to go. Hopefully next year. I mean, you got to wait, you know, and see on that. But yeah, you definitely want to get some guys at corner. You can't have Terrence Mitchell as your other guy. I'm not saying that. I do like Goodson. I think he's a little bit better than, like you said, the value of him. Like, he's supposed to be just a guy. Like, he actually was a little bit better than just a guy to me.
Was he better? Well, I don't want to cut you off. Molly, you were going to say something before we moved on to linebackers. Did you?
I must have lost my train of thought then.
Okay. Sorry. Was BJ Goodson better than just a guy, or was he the only guy out there? Because you know how it is. I mean, you know, I hate to use this as an example, but look at it's just like Texas Tech when they threw the ball 60 times a game. Somebody has to get those stats, whether it's Cliff Kingsbury or Sonny Cumbie. Someone's got to get the tackles at linebacker. Do you know what I mean? Someone's got to be there. Did BJ Goodson really play well, or was he just the only guy out there?
Magri, you take that one. Oh, that was me.
I'll say this: I think that the Browns' linebacking core is almost like what I looked at the Brooklyn Nets before they got Kyrie and before they got KD, which is they're a bunch of good role players. They're just waiting for that one star to be in place to make them all look better.
Yep, it's good. That's a really good analogy.
But who are you taking out?
I like Zaven Collins for one, but I know that there's a few different linebackers that you could bring in.
So it's the offseason, so let's rock and roll with it. Clearly, you've done a lot of homework on Zaven Collins. I felt like I did a lot of homework on him last year. I watched him play against Oklahoma State. I watched him play against Marshall. I watched him play against whatever. I've seen him play a couple times. I don't have a written report on him or anything. He was very good at getting at the passer. I viewed him as more of a pass rushing outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing that's giving you such a hard on for him?
So for me, it's all about versatility. So one of the things that I had seen, and again, I haven't done as much homework as I want to, given my other job.
It's so early. No one's holding you to anything. It's so early in the process.
Right.
No one here has a big board.
But my big thing that really caught my eye was the fact that, you know, I saw a few breakdowns of the fact that he was getting utilized at different positions along that defense. So we saw something similar earlier in the offseason last year, obviously with Isaiah Simmons, but also with Jeremy Chinn, where you saw him utilize at middle linebacker, at will, at Sam. They use him a little bit at slot. You know, they utilize him at safety. So I like a guy who you can kind of move around and has that defensive versatility. I think that says a lot about the guy and a lot about his understanding of the defense. So for me, if you're able to insert that guy into this defense, I like him, and especially his size at 6'4", 260. You know, I think that you mix him in and you all of a sudden then have a Jacob Phillips supporting him. I think that makes it a lot better instead of having Jacob Phillips be that main guy that you're kind of looking at. And I say that with air quotes for the listeners. But having him be that main type, I think he's better as a support linebacker to your main guy in the middle. And I think that you've got Taki Taki as somebody who can fill in occasionally. He should not be out there on third downs. I want to reiterate, he should not be out there on third downs. And should not be covering. I understand he got an interception, but he really shouldn't be out there in coverage.
Two interceptions.
He's
terrible.
I agree with Max. And we were talking about that last night.
Good moments, but not consistent.
He's pretty. Yeah.
No, I'd rather have him on the first two downs, but he is a playmaker, dude. That guy's always around.
He's an athletic dude. I think he could. I think he does.
He's great instincts.
For the record, I'm saying this as someone who didn't like him. Donovan, we had a post draft show, and I said that guy's going to be a bust. That's not a good pick. At BYU, he played aggressive, out of his mind. First of all, he didn't play very often either. He played a lot like Vontaze Burfict, only Vontaze Burfict was more athletic, if that makes sense. But he does look more athletic.
They went to the same high school, by the way, so that's funny.
Shut the hell up. Are you serious?
Yeah.
They're good at football.
They're from my area in California. My neck
bro, that's there, fucking, so that's wild.
That's hilarious, yeah. Shout out Josh for getting that. You didn't even know that. I was like, I know he doesn't know this when you said that.
What's up? He's more athletic than I thought. There's a couple, you know, it's funny because there's a couple guys from every draft class that I remember vividly. Hey, I don't like that guy. He's going to be a bust. And then being good. Kenny Galladay, for one, that's probably the most famous example. But so in the draft, see him talking, talking, like, he's a lot more athletic than I thought he was going to be. I think he can play in coverage. He's not out there stump. When Tuff Borland was getting smoked by Devontae Smith, he was getting smoked. A lot of times when Taki Taki gets smoked, it's just because he looks like he's completely lost, like a deer in the headlights. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's still I can see that. Athletic ability thing.
Can I ask you guys a question? If you don't mind, like, because I think of a little bit watching the Browns, and I'm not going to even say I watched the Browns as much as three of you, but I've watched a lot of them this year.
You son of a bitch, you're on the Browns Wire podcast.
I've watched the Browns, like, but I'm not like keeping up with their practices and stuff like that, and like the ins and out every week until I got on this podcast kind of in the middle of the season, you know? <That's> true. Yeah, so but anyway, I just want to ask, like, these guys, all you guys you mentioned at linebacker are so young. Do you want to, like, wait on these guys to get better? Or you don't think any of them are, like, the guy enough to even develop to be the guy? Or do they have potential to be the guy? Or they're all young, man. I mean, they're all, like, under 25, I think, right? Like,
yeah, you know, they're all pretty young. But, I mean, I would say this. Like, when it comes to Mac Wilson, I love Mac. But the one thing that I remember talking with our editor, Jeff Risen, about was the fact that the reason why he fell to the fifth round was because you would get into, like, there would be a four plays out of 10 where Mac Wilson, you'd be saying, like, damn, how the hell did this dude fall to the fifth round? Then the other six, you go ahead, that's why. Okay, never mind, I get it. Where he'll just make some bonehead play. But at the same time, I think that he's a solid role player. I don't think that there is the guy on this team. Like I said, maybe the close thing to it, in my opinion, is Jacob Phillips, but I think that he might be a little bit too lean, to be too that lean. Guy. I understand
enough.
He's 230.
Mac likes the thick boys.
Hey, Brendan Shaw.
The main's got to be thick. The main's got to be thick. But
I thought he weighs like 240.
What did you say, Molly?
Someone scarier looking.
So
he's like
240 pounds. I saw Jacob now. Yeah, he was like he was only like 231 coming out of LSU.
Was that right? Oh shit.
But that was all right. That was a while ago. I mean, sure, he's put on weight.
You said coming out of LSU?
Yeah.
Well, that's only about 6 months ago.
That's so why I was saying with Damon Collins, he's 6'4", 260.
But that's different. So here's the problem. Again, I am not prepared enough to have a conversation about Zayvon Collins. And that,
yeah,
that's
no, I know. And again, I'm right there with you, but I'm just going based on what I'm looking
based
for.
Based off of what I see Zayvon. So you're when you talk about versatility in Zayvon Collins, you talked about Jeremy Chinn. You talked about
Isaiah Simmons.
And then you talked about who was the other guy you talked about?
No, those were the two.
Okay. So those two guys. If you talk about tweeners,
I know
the grand scale of tweener, they're over here on the DB side, and Zayvon Collins is over here on the defensive end outside linebacker. He's in the TJ Watt side, if that makes sense. So yeah. I don't know if you're getting that when you're. So when you're talking about versatility in Joe Woods' defense, and you're talking about wanting that.
So this is what I'm getting at. So in my opinion, I think that they add another safety this offseason in addition to getting Delpit back. So I think that they're going to have three DBs on the field. I know most people aren't going to like this because of PTSD from Steve Wilks, but I think you're going to get more into that base 4-2-5. So I think
I still stand by Steve Wilks. I still don't think that was – I still think he would have been all right, but whatever.
Yeah, but I just don't think he had the right personnel at least, like when it came to the defensive backs. But I would say this. I think that you add in – like, again, probably my top free agent target this year – is Marcus Williams out of New Orleans. I was a big fan of him coming out of college when he was coming out of Utah. And given, I don't know if you guys have seen New Orleans' cap situation, but they're $99 million under the over the cap. So anybody that's a free agent is pretty much gone. So I look at Marcus Williams, bring him in as your traditional deep free safety. And then you can have Delpit play a little bit more closer to the line and play that nickel role, even if you need to as well. And kind of that nickel safety and kind of more that box. And you have Ronnie Harrison play the traditional box or that traditional strong safety.
So going back to, because now we're switching gears again. Going back to Donovan's question about the linebackers, are you moving on from them? Are you what is your plan? Because that was Donovan.
I was just pretty much saying, what's the plan with those guys because they're so young? Like, do you bail on them early or kind of let them grow together? Because they're all.
I think you let them grow together.
Okay.
I think you let them grow together, right? What did you say?
Have
you
talked?
20. I think he's 25.
Yeah, he's the oldest one because he did the mission, right? Or he was.
Yeah, him and Darius went to high school together. The co-host on the old show, so they're the same. Yeah.
So if you draft Zayvon Collins, though, one of those guys is out of the picture. Who are you throwing out of the picture? Sounds like
like I said, I think I have Taki Taki as a rotational linebacker.
But you're keeping Mack Wilson in the rotation there. Is Wilson
my
above
starting linebacker? And just hypothetical, if the Browns were to take Zayvon Collins, for instance, just saying the name, just throwing it out there.
God, that makes your pecker so hard, doesn't it? Whenever you say
apparently,
Zayvon Collins.
Apparently, man. But even still, so I'm looking at starting Jacob Phillips, and I would start Collins. And then I would have the other guys to kind of sprinkle in and mix in.
So Goodson doesn't start.
I think Goodson is out. I think Donovan's question was more based off of, I mean, we're not talking about you're not asking about Goodson and Malcolm Smith because they're 40 years old, right, Donovan?
Or I mean,
Goodson's 27.
Yeah, he's not 40.
Yeah, Goodson's not 40.
Jesus Christ. No, 40. He's like 27, 28.
Yeah. I didn't think you meant Goodson. You're talking about Taki Taki, Jacob Phillips, and Mack Wilson.
That's three. What I meant. But I mean, obviously, you're gonna have the backup guys too. They can stay or whatever. But I meant the starters.
Goodson's not an answer, right? No one here thinks that Goodson is a permanent answer. Correct?
No, I like no. No. I don't think I like.
Again, I think he's a good I think he's a good rotational linebacker.
Yeah, I like.
But
he's
not. But the other three guys. So Taki Taki was drafted in the third round. There's a ton of NFL linebackers that were drafted in the third round that start, and he's got a lot of starts under his belt. Jacob Phillips was drafted in the third round, second round.
Yeah,
third.
Again, same situation, and they've shoved him out there in the starting lineup before. Mack Wilson was seen as a huge, huge, huge steal in the fifth round. Personally, you guys know how I grade. I always grade with like the ceiling. I looked at those first round plays, and that was enough for me. I gave him a first round grade. I was like, bro, if they, if he's there in the second, dude, he is, he, when he's on fire, he is on fire, dude. He was laying dudes out. He was all over the field at Alabama. I don't care what his test numbers were.
So you, if you're gonna get a better version of Mac Wilson with Dylan Moses coming up this
that
year,
that might be true. That might be true. I didn't say that. I gave Chad Kelly a third round grade too. A lot
you're
of so things.
You're nice, man.
A lot of things, but you can see a lot of things happen.
I mean, yeah, you saw the way he was able to run.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Swag Kelly. But I would still take a linebacker. I would still draft a linebacker and see who. So one of those guys is going to suck. Odds are all three of them are going to suck. Let's just be real. So I'm just going to feed him to the wolves. Draft one, feed him to the wolves. Molly, what you got? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I, like Max said, kind of like supporting. Versus, like, they can be supporting guys versus someone that's really going to make plays and be, like, a leader of a linebacker core.
So, if you could draft – here's another question. So, okay, Mac talks about Zaven Collins. Let's talk about a linebacker that's more of your typical – this guy's going to be the, more of your Devin White stud linebacker. Who would that be, Don? You're thinking Dylan Moses or Micah Parsons?
They're not going to touch Micah Parsons, dude. He's going to the top 10. But, yeah, no, Dylan Moses, yeah. I would look at a guy like Dylan Moses. And but I don't know, man. If you're asking me, I would look at a guy like Zaven Collins and Dylan Moses. I love Zaven Collins, too. I like both of them. They're great. But I would look at – I would stay put with those linebackers and look at guys like Baron Browning. Later on. I'm a value guy, man. Unless they're a home run guy, I'm a value guy. And I think their defense around them is so good. I like Porter Gustin. You know that. I'm a huge Porter Gustin guy. That's my boy. Uh-huh. It's my boy. So they have, like, the depth up front. And I would side Vernon back for sure. I'll try to get him back. You got Miles. Miles is the top 10 defensive player in the NFL.
What would you sign Vernon to?
I don't know the Browns cap situation, like, on the top of my hand, but I would give him
He's going to have a big injury. 24 right now, 24 and a half in free space. I checked it yesterday. That's the only reason why I know.
Molly, do you have any cap knowledge? Or are you like Donovan and I? You got no idea.
No, he would have been.
Yeah, no, I'm just the nerd over here. I'm sorry.
I've been thinking about it, but I was too.
I mean, I'm not paying him top dollar, but I mean, I'm paying him a Pro Bowl dollar. Like, he's not Myles Garrett dollar, but he's
right.
Pro Bowl. Yeah, he's Pro Bowl. Yeah, he's Pro Bowl dollar for sure. Like, whatever the value is, the market is, if he wants it, I'll take it. I'm not overpaying him, though, like, because he's coming off a big injury, too. And he's important, though, man. Like, he played better than Miles sometimes this year.
The other thing, too, is you see Miles getting held so much that
– Yeah, triple team.
Yeah, like, someone else needs to be there to get to him when they have two people double teaming and one of them's horse collaring. Miles Garrett.
I agree with that. And we know for a fact Vernon is really good at benefiting from.
Yep.
Dude, there were some games where even when Miles Garrett was out, where Vernon was on fire and Vernon was taking on the double team. He was playing really well.
But you get the kid from Baylor back that Max said earlier. What's his? He went to Baylor, I believe. Billings? Is it?
Andrew Billings.
Yeah. Billings back, and you got
Bowling Ball Billings.
Yeah, Claiborne, kind of had a resurgence, I feel like.
And Falcons, you got Jordan Phillips, too, in the middle.
Jordan Phillips.
Well, yeah. Okay, so, Mac, back to
the Browns are a good team, man. They're just young on defense. Like, I would just let this team, like, ride out for another year, honestly. So they don't need to do too much.
But not all. See, but that's
he gets the Dayo off the field.
What'd you say?
I said he gets a Dayo off the field. He's too
old. Oh, well, yeah, he shouldn't be on the team at all. Like,
that's not fair.
He's trash, dude.
He was his place filler.
B.J. Goodson's better than him?
No. Sendejo is really good at doing what he does.
He's trash, dude.
But he was told – they picked Sendejo. Sendejo is he's an in-the-box safety. He's not – you don't want him in space. You don't want him in coverage. And when Delpit went down, they panicked. And because he probably is a really intelligent guy – remember, this is a guy who really had to fight for his spot in the NFL at all.
Yeah.
He was cast aside. He had to play for the Sacramento Mountain Lions.
I looked into him. He made me mad, so I looked into him.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who fought and scrapped hard. So I'm assuming that
I think he could not play like Grant Delpit.
No.
That's why he needs to be.
I would say I'll say this. I think that a lot of the hate was similar to what Jabril Peppers got in his rookie year when Greg Williams was playing him in the muni lot. Like, I think that was a little different. What'd you say?
I think that was a little different because there were some plays where Peppers was doing the right thing and
yeah,
they just shit on that poor guy.
Oh, like
Peppers, yeah.
Because Andrew Sandejo did miss tackles. I'm not saying he was an all-pro player. Yeah, but like Peppers, like even when Peppers was doing the right thing, everybody was like, "God, Peppers, you suck!" And it's like, dude,
he wasn't. Yeah. He was playing out of position. That was the main. That was the main point.
And people just running past him.
Now look at him with the Giants. He's killing it.
Yeah, he was. I think real Browns fans knew how good Peppers was. He just was never. They never used him correctly, and he got screwed too at Michigan. The weird part about these players like Hassan Reddick and Isaiah Simmons and Jabril Peppers is when you're so good in college and you're playing all over the field, you don't have a real position. Because first of all, the coach comes up to me and says, follow the ball, follow the ball. And that takes away all your responsibility. Well, then you go to the pros. You don't really have a whole lot of practice at your original position. A. B, you have to learn a playbook and the rules. It's just it's a whole different layer that you didn't need before. And now you're talking about a niche player where the coach has to kind of design things for you to do. That's why Hassan Reddick struggled for so long, is that he was really good at like one thing. He was really good at one thing. Well, you have to design him to be good at that one thing or else he's worthless. And that I think that was a lot of the worry with Isaiah Simmons as well, but Isaiah Simmons is a freak of an athlete compared to Hassan Reddick. But that's the big worrisome when you talk about guys that are that versatile. David Collins, you're not going to have to deal with that because they moved him around simply to avoid getting double team and triple team and attack the offense from different angles. You don't see that with pass rushers. It's those guys that sit in coverage and roam around the field that you see that with, if that makes sense.
That's fair.
Okay. So Jabril Peppers was always kind of given a shitty hand.
Mm-hmm.
There was a USC guy like that too. I want to say Taylor Mays, but that ain't it. Might have been Taylor Mays.
Taylor was like that, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And he just kind of never really got his footing in the NFL because of it.
Yeah, he would have done a little bit better in today's, I think, NFL too. But he said that himself. I listened to him on a podcast out there on the West Coast, the Trojan one. I don't know what it's called right now. Not the Trojan Wire, but that's a good one too. But yeah, he 6'4", 229. He would have fit more today's NFL more so than they would have gave him more of a chance. Is what he said. That's what he said. He really got like phased out pretty early because they just didn't know what to do with him. Now they kind of like try to figure out what to do. Like Jabril Peppers, he got a second chance.
I mean, great now. Pete Carroll can bring him back into Seattle after they bring in Adam Gase and piss off Jamal Adams.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I tell you what though, Adam Gase might be. I don't know why they fired Brian Schottenheimer. Is it that hard to go, up to a guy that you're the boss of and say, bro, we got Russell Wilson. Throw the ball a couple more fucking times. You know, is it that hard? I don't understand why that conversation – because it wasn't like he was calling plays just – I mean, there was a method to his madness. You didn't watch him and go, what are they doing? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Schottenheimer's okay. Gase is okay. They're about the same.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's like, why are you going to mess up the groove, the relationships that you have?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Just to break. Yeah.
That was surprising. They're close. Shoddy's close to Pete. I mean, they've been close for a while.
It's
like
super strange.
Schottenheimer, they're really close. So that was surprising. But.
You know, what are they? They always bring in like passing game coordinators and shit to kind of boost those old guys and tell them, hey, dude, you got to throw the ball more. Here's a passing game coordinator. You know what I mean? And they didn't even try that with him. I just thought the whole situation was really weird. But you never know. Some of those coaching situations are weird too because you don't know what their relationship is like. That's another reason why I kind of laugh at the whole fire Joe Woods thing. Well, the players clearly like him. They really like him. And you're going to fire him and bring in a 73-year-old guy? No.
Everyone likes
him. Yeah, the one that recommended him in the first place.
Yeah. Wade Phillips did?
Yeah. Wade Phillips gave him a recommendation last year.
Oops, didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why. Like again, when people talk about bringing in Wade Phillips, I'm just like, I don't get it. Like I understand, I love Wade Phillips.
I mean, Wade's amazing.
I think he's a fantastic coach.
He's awesome.
He's great.
If you bring him in as a senior defensive assistant, okay, cool, that makes sense to me. But like,
yeah,
again, I don't think that he would come in to replace the guy that he recommended last year because they pursued him last year.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, they pursued him last year, and when I want to say he backed out last year, and recommended Joe Woods for the job. When people were suggesting him that he take the job here after he left the Rams.
God, I admire your memory.
I swear, I have the memory, like, just the smallest details for certain things and other things. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, but you don't remember shit about Spurgeon Wynn, Mac. That's all me, buddy.
No, I do not.
Spurgeon Wynn. Shit about that Spurgeon Wynn. All right, it's getting to be close to an hour. Molly's over here yawning on our podcast. Let's go ahead and do our game picks. What'd you say?
I always yawn.
I yawn on the show a lot too. So don't.
That's because you're a shitty co-host, Donovan. I'm just gonna say, you came on here. You said you don't watch the Browns.
I didn't say I didn't watch the Browns. I never said that. Yeah, I said that. I don't watch as much Browns as you guys. Is what I said.
Brown too.
Oh, that's dirty, dude.
Let's do our game picks.
Next thing I know, he's gonna be coming out with Corvette. So
hey, I'm the one. Hey, I picked the Browns a lot more than Josh on this show. Just saying.
I am gonna be honest with you. I know that neither Mac nor Molly listen to the show, so they probably aren't aware of that. But that is true.
Yeah, I'm the real Browns fan.
Donovan picks the Browns way more than me, and people message me about it.
I picked him to cover on Saturday in the cover. Oh.
Just he saying, did.
Hey, I'm he right did. There with you, man. I did too.
Yeah, but you're a Browns fan. So people will message me and be like, dude, why are you such a dick?
Someone did get mad at me because I'm a Packers fan on this. They're like, this man's like yelling out go Pack go on a Browns wire podcast. I'm like, whoa. you gotta keep it real, dude. I'm not fake. You know what I'm saying? Like, go Browns.
I respect it.
And that's, you know, Donovan knows the stuff. You know, it's I like having the down the line non-biased opinion. Mac, that's why you don't make the cut, bro. What's up?
Keep on working at it.
I still got a Johnny Manziel Browns jersey somewhere.
Who doesn't, dude? I was grabbing those things at Dick's Sporting Goods when they were $5, man.
I wasn't.
I had it when he, like, dude, I was like, man, Johnny was my boy, dude. Like, that's my favorite non-USC player of all time.
Yeah. I have 5 Johnny Manziel jerseys.
Damn, you're a bigger Johnny guy than me, dude.
I grabbed them.
Man,
that's a
weird flex in 2021, dude.
Bro, I grabbed them all.
After the game?
Johnny should still be the quarterback. That's what I think. If he didn't if he didn't drink and do coke all the time, he'd still be the quarterback for the Browns. He'd be a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, but
I'm not going there.
I still stand by him.
I'm gonna back Donovan up on this.
Johnny Manziel gets
shit on, but Donovan's right, dude. It's hard to play football when you're doing so much coke that you can't breathe.
That dude was waking up doing Adderall in the morning just to get the
hell yeah, bro.
Like, dude, like, yeah, your body is just gonna. But if he didn't do that stuff, oh yeah, he
dude, I can't do my job doing that.
He would have been just as good as Bake, dude. Honestly,
I don't know if Pro Bowl. I think that Johnny Manziel could have been the starter for Cleveland, and we wouldn't have been upset about it. Sex. If he would have not been such a drug addict.
We would not be in as good of a spot as we are now because we would not have had as high draft picks though. Even if he did less coke and was okay. Even if he wouldn't pull the road, like we wouldn't be.
If him and Josh Gordon didn't have the issues that they had, I think that Josh Gordon
is still living on 2013, dude.
Remember, it's all about
he is the equivalent of I peaked in high school.
Aww. Oh, that's a little different, dude. Man,
one good year.
He didn't get to have fun.
What is he saying at Sunny Philadelphia? I haven't even begun to peak. And when I do, you're going to know I'm going to peak all over your face.
Oh, that was a funny episode. I remember.
Oh, it's great. The cream rises to the top, I'm all cream, buddy.
Nah, dude.
What's up?
Shout out Johnny Manziel.
He's the starting quarterback for controlled football.
No, Johnny's done, bro.
Fan-controlled football, dude. It's been popping up.
He just signed a contract for fan-controlled football. Quavo and Richard Sherman on the team.
That just happened? Yeah, dude.
It's starting up in February. You got to know this stuff, bro, because we're talking about it on this show when it happens, bro. We had Quadarius Smith on a couple months ago who just recently signed on. I think he's on Johnny Manziel's team. I'll have to double check.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah, Quad Smith. But let's go ahead. Let's talk about our picks. I went 2-2. I won two both games on Saturday. I was so the cream. I was so full of cream that day. The cream, and then I went 0-2 on Sunday. I went 0-2 on Sunday. So all the cream left. But so I'm gonna go with Tampa Bay getting 3.5 points from the Green Bay Packers. I think that, you know, I know this is against the grain because the Green Bay Packers played really well last week, but I think that if Aaron Donald would have played better, we wouldn't have been in that situation, okay? I picked the Green Bay Packers last week, and I won that bet, but I was expecting Jared Goff to be a liability. That did not happen. That game went a completely different way. I'm thinking that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win. I don't think it's due to Tom Brady. I think it's because the Buccaneers have a very good defense. I think they proved that against the New Orleans Saints last week with the 4 turnovers. I'm taking Tampa Bay getting the 3.5. They may not win, but they're getting 3.5 points in a conference championship game. I'm taking the points. Kathy Mount agrees. Oh, no. Yeah, she agrees with me. She's taking Tommy in the first game.
Who?
Kathy Mount.
Oh, we got a fan.
She's in our chat. Person? She agrees with me. She's taking What's Tommy. My second game. Well, you want to? We just, since there's only two games, you just do the rotation. Argue about the first game.
Yeah, yeah, we're rocking
on that. What you got? How'd you do last week, dude?
I went 3-1. I lost the Ravens game.
Damn, you did better than me. Good for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked Tampa Bay. Unlike you. Now you're picking Tampa Bay. You picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, last week. Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I didn't know Drew Brees was going to suck right in the middle of the goddamn playoffs.
He can't throw past 20 yards, man.
He's Peyton Manning in 2015.
Yeah.
Don't talk shit about Peyton Manning.
And they, I told
I'm
you,
not talking shit about Peyton Manning. I'm talking shit about old Peyton Manning. I
also told you they were going to need Latavius Murray for those third and shorts, and they didn't
have
him.
You did say that.
That was big because they can flex out Kamara. Like, I don't know, just mess their game plan, I thought. But anyway, and they have Taysom.
He did say that. Full transparency. Donovan did say Latavius Murray. They were going to need Latavius Murray last week. And I said, are you stupid?
I love Latavius, man. It's like a backup running. Anyway, Packers, yeah, I got them. I think this game's the GOAT versus the baby GOAT, basically. I mean, two of my favorite quarterbacks. I think those are the 1A ones.
Aaron Rodgers is way better than Tom Brady.
He's more talented. I don't know about that. But he's an
absolute physical specimen.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I love my quarterback, man. He's great. But as far as this was 3.5, you said? Yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of points.
I think Green Bay gets it done by more than 3.5. So I'm going to take the pack at home and the 22-degree weather, the wind chill, daytime game, but it's all right. This is the way they're running the football. They got their hands full with Devin White and those boys up front for the Bucks. But the way they're running the football, and obviously they're going to be unstoppable with Devontae Adams through the air. I think they'll put up a lot of points. Because there was a lot of times that the Saints really they could have scored a lot more points, but they have Drew Brees at quarterback. They don't have Aaron Rodgers, so Aaron Rodgers is going to make up for those points. I think they win this game by a touchdown.
Based on what I'm seeing that is basically consensus. If you are, I think that if you are taking the Buccaneers, you do want to wait. I think I already put money on them, so I screwed up. But I believe that the spread is going to get higher based off of what I'm understanding because I'm hearing more and more people in the community taking the Packers. Molly, what do you got for this game?
31-28 pack.
I can't do math that hard. Oh, so that you're you're taking the Buccaneers too then.
It's a cover.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mac, what do you got?
You know what? I'm going to agree with Donovan here. I will say this. I think Green Bay wins. I'll take the 3.5 as well. I think that this is going to have to be a big game from Alan Lazard as well.
Pause. You're already confusing me. So you are taking the Buccaneers.
No. You agree with me.
I'm agreeing with Donovan. I'm not taking the 3.5 points.
I'm agreeing that they're going to cover the 3.5.
They're going to cover
the spread.
Yeah, they're going to cover the spread.
Okay.
7.
Cool. So I'm going to take them. I'm going to take Green Bay. I think that this is going to have to be an Alan Lazard game for him to have a solid impact early on, especially free up a little bit more from the side of Devontae Adams, obviously. And I think you're going to get enough out of Aaron Jones where I think they're going to be able to control the clock. And yeah, so give me the Packers.
That's a really good point. I like that just because I think Tanyan's going to get taken out of the game by Devin White completely.
And I love Tanyan.
Yeah, I think they're going to take him away. And, you know, if they're going to rotate on Devontae, and I really do think Lazard's going to have to, or Marquez, one of those two are going to have a pretty big game. Catching that deep ball, that deep ball, 30-yard bomb, 20-yard bomb, or whatever.
If I have to rely on Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I'm backing out. I'm 100% feeling comfortable with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kathy comments again. She went 4-0 last week, so she's bragging. She's bragging. She got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3, which is unfortunate. You need that hook. The hook is very important.
I went 2-2 last week. So
that's one thing that you can learn from this podcast is how vital that freaking hook is. Game number 2, the Buffalo Bills are getting 3 points at the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. This was a surprise. I really didn't want to bet on this game. I was kind of surprised this game was even on the board, considering Patrick Mahomes might not even play. They're talking about him playing. But I'm going to be honest with you. I thought about it. I sat here. I thought about it. I'm still going to, even if he's not playing, I'm going to take Chad Haney and the boys, giving the 3 points to the Buffalo Bills. Andy Reid is a god. They know what they're doing. There's a lot of firepower. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, we saw it. He's got a whole week to prep with Chad Haney. Andy Reid, this is a man who won playoff games with Coy Detmer. Coy Detmer. Not Ty Detmer. Coy Detmer. Okay? He won playoff games with Jeff Garcia after Jeff Garcia was already done and sucked and was with Cleveland. This is after Cleveland. This is after the Browns debacle. He went to the playoffs again with Jeff Garcia. At post-jail, Michael Vick took him to the playoffs. This is a man who can coach quarterbacks that are not that are underappreciated. And Chad Haney, he's got a lot of talent. I don't think he's obviously not Patrick Mahomes, but he's been in the league for 14 years. He's got good size. He's pretty athletic. We saw that in the 3rd-and-13 run. And he's got a decent arm. So I'm still taking the Kansas City. Kathy's on Buffalo, too. Oh, she's actually going against me. Oh, oops.
She's on Buffalo. This game's tough, man. I would take Buffalo. Just because I don't know, man. With Mahomes,
you love Josh Allen.
I do love Josh Allen. you know how much I love Josh Allen. This is Josh Allen's time, man. This is his time. But no, they might not win the game. I'm not saying that because it depends on 15, man. 15's the best player on the field always. It's not even the concussion stuff. His ankle, dude. People forgetting, like, you know, before the Mac Wilson injury, like, he was limping around the field, barely making it. Still Mahomes. He can throw off one foot because he's Mahomes, but you know he's hurt. He's banged
I'm
up right now.
Confused by your handicap.
I think it's too close. It's already.
I'm gonna take Buffalo. I love Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I mean, Mahomes he's great, but it's not Mahomes. You're not getting a full Mahomes. Is what I'm trying to say. Like, you're not getting full 15, you know, you're getting 14 and a half. You're not getting the full Mahomes. You're getting the full Josh Allen, you're getting the full Diggs. And they, you know, I saw what Kansas City did last week versus the run versus the Browns. It was good. They're not really going to run the ball too much, Buffalo. They don't really do that. They don't have to. No. With the
Josh Allen can, though.
Exactly. Josh Allen can. You can't really just stop that, though. That's not something that you can plan for. When Josh Allen takes off, he just takes off.
But Devin Singletary and Zach Moss were borderline pathetic last week, and they have not
Moss
had –
didn't play last week.
He didn't even play last week? See, that's how non-existent he's been, bro. But I didn't even notice you.
But I think that's the thing. Is like,
wait, who's getting carries? Because Devin Singletary only got like 13 carries last week?
They had like a – I forgot the other running back they had. They had another running back in there. But this game's tough, man, what I'm trying to say. But I think Buffalo can cover the 3. I don't even know if Kansas City can win this game. So, of course, I'm going to take Buffalo. But it's hard. I'm not putting any money on this game at all. Because it's going to be – T.J. Yeldon, that's who it was.
Devin Singletary got 7 carries. They signed him. T.J. Yeldon got 2 carries. They only ran the ball 9 times. Josh Allen got 7 more carries.
I'm
so comfortable with Kansas City. You're not going to be able to not run the ball in the AFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl.
They can shoot out with Kansas City, though. They're the only team in the AFC that can. Right? I mean, Josh Allen can go toe for toe with Patrick Mahomes, dude.
That's fair.
That's the only team I thought that could beat Kansas City from the beginning of the season.
Can I watch them versus the Colts? See, watching them versus the Ravens, I felt that way. Watching them versus the Colts, I didn't feel that way.
That Colts secondary is sick, though, and that defense Well, the Kansas City defense is better.
The Browns toasted them.
The Bill, dude, you didn't play this.
The Colts defensive backfield is not sick. The Colts defensive backfield.
Xavier Rhodes improved his season without him.
Yeah,
it's a good defense, but they don't.
Their defense is great.
They don't out physical you, right? They don't. They don't have Jalen Ramsey. They play a zone come to me defense. That's how they play. They keep everything in front of them. That's why. Who's the slot cornerback that's got no athletic ability at all? That's really good. What's his name? He went to the D2 school. Went to like North Carolina Asheville.
You're the D2 guy, man. You know all those.
What the hell's his name? They just gave him a bunch of money. Whatever. They got
it's
guys.
It's gonna be tough.
I mean,
the only thing that does scare me before I give it to Molly and Mac. I don't want to talk too much, but like I always talk about him, Honey Badger, dude. Because Josh Allen does still make some bonehead throws, and that'd be the guy to do it. He can take it to the house and change that game. Josh Allen
did against Baker.
Yeah. He did. And I mean, Josh Allen, I mean, you can't compare those guys, Baker, Joe, but Josh Allen.
Yeah, not at all.
Dude, I think Josh Allen is top five quarterback.
You think Josh Allen's way better than Baker?
I don't think he's that much better. Dude, Josh Allen has time to develop.
Josh Allen is about to be the best quarterback in the NFL besides
Mahomes. He's got a bigger arm. I think when you watch him, his game is sexy.
He's had longer passes, yeah.
But I think Baker Mayfield is more efficient. I think he moves. I think his pocket awareness is better.
You know how much I love Josh Allen.
I think he's more accurate too. I think Baker Mayfield's more accurate.
I get what you're saying. Josh Allen has the more glamorous, like you said, like
he's sexy. He's got a better smile.
You seen that Josh Allen smiled?
He does. He looks
$1 million.
Like he fades in that.
Wait, who's Molly? Who's better looking, Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield?
Why are you asking her?
Baker.
Because I want to ask the lady first.
Baker.
All right, I just told you who was better looking. No, who'd Baker Mayfield is not better looking. Josh Allen is better looking.
Baker, it's the beard.
What about?
Are you serious?
I'm putting this on Twitter.
You can.
Not best in the playoffs because obviously Tom Brady is, but I mean,
that's a great title.
Dude, Josh Allen's got like a great body. You know what I mean? He's got a strong jaw.
He wouldn't drink beer with me on a boat like Baker would.
Mac, what are you?
Man, I don't know. I think Josh Allen's good looking.
What's the question here?
Who's better looking, Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen?
Oh my
Baker,
God.
Baker probably, I would say.
He's not
Baker looks like he's more fun.
Josh Allen also, like, Josh Allen has the same issue that I do where, like, if we could grow facial hair, we might look our age. But, like,
oh, that's good. That's true. That's true.
Baker looks like he'd be more fun.
Baker has more swag.
Josh Allen can grow hair, facial hair.
Baker's like natural beard, though. Like us. No offense, Matt.
No, none taken. I get it, man.
My bad. I know that was a way off topic question. I just wanted to
get back to football now. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got Buffalo minus three.
Who you got?
I want to see the Bills win this game. I think if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play at all, I think they have a closer chance to win, and I think that would be a fun game to watch.
You'd rather watch them without Patrick Mahomes?
Okay, I'd rather see the Bills beat the Chiefs after the Chiefs beating us. Let's put it that way.
Interesting.
I also just like the Bills. I like the Bills fans that come to my tailgate. A table has been broken at my tailgate by a Bills fan. So they're probably my third favorite team in the NFL. So
they're your third. Who's your number two?
Packers.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't have a ranking system.
Mine's a pack for sure, and then I'd say Browns and.
So I think I do think like 28-26, Chiefs.
I love every time she does that. I have to do the math because.
Do you think I'm talking about the spread?
Huh?
Do you think I'm like talking about? Oh, you have to do 20.
He's just really bad at math.
I'm so bad at math. I gotta be like, that's 3 points, right?
Jesus, what school? You went to El Paso, right? I thought that was a good school.
2 points, Josh.
El Paso?
26 plus 2 is 28. I think.
Did you go to El Paso?
I know. I thought Valpo was a good school.
It was. I did transfer out, though.
Jesus Christ.
We miss a math course, is there?
I guess so.
I think Josh Allen, like I said, I think the team that we watched played the Ravens could beat the Chiefs, but the team that I watched play the Colts, I don't know if they could beat the Chiefs.
I agree with that take, but I'm not taking Kansas City. Mac, what do you got?
Patrick Mahomes. I'm saying that. I'm going to say the team that's if Patrick Mahomes is not playing the whole game.
So if Patrick Mahomes is playing, you're taking the Chiefs. Okay.
I think that's too different.
By more than 3 points?
Yes.
So then you're with me. Because right now everything.
I think you're saying them versus the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and them without Patrick Mahomes are two completely different questions.
But they're saying all indications are Patrick Mahomes is going to play. There's been no indication that he's not.
So, but if he's playing, is he at his full ability?
He's not going to be 100%.
No, he will not be. There's no way.
There's no way. With that ankle or turf toe, whatever it was. Yeah.
Okay, but it can be Max's turn. Sorry, I just wanted to.
Now I will say this, a little preface for this, right after our first year at Brownswire, I covered the 0-16 parade downtown and I went up and I was interviewing fans. And let me tell you, mind you, the Buffalo Bills played their first playoff game in almost 2 decades. The next day,
I remember that
I saw so many Bills fans that were there supporting the Browns. That day, and I was asking, why the hell are you here? You have a playoff game. Why are you at the 0-16 parade? They said, oh, we just want to show our support. They drove 5 hours.
Aren't they at
the 0-16 parade?
That's crazy.
Right. So for me, I will say this. Given where the spread is right now, I don't know if the indications are that Mahomes is going to play. I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to roll with Bills Mafia.
Wow. I'm getting outvoted here. So what do you
table breaking friends, but
I don't know if I could live in Buffalo, just eating wings all day, listening to the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, I could.
Dude, what?
I love
Goo Goo Dolls are a treasure, dude.
How did you look like the Goo Goo Dolls?
They're
Buffalo and Cleveland are pretty much the same thing though.
Buffalo and Cleveland?
Yeah.
Same vibes.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
I have a couple friends from Buffalo.
Yeah, it's really similar vibes.
You have a gaggle.
Both. Obviously.
I'm trying to move Josh to Atlanta, bro. Come down here.
Although I will say this, and Josh knows this for a fact, I was not a Josh Allen guy coming out.
No, you talked shit about him constantly.
Yes.
Everyone did.
We were together for that.
Yeah. I will say this. I give all the credit in the world to Brandon Bean for assembling that wide receiver core and for Brian Daboll for building that offense around him. They've done a phenomenal job with him, and he's improved.
You're still not giving Josh Allen any credit at all?
I'm giving him credit. He's improved throughout his career, but they've done a good job to support him. They've given them great route runners and guys who know how to get open. What's up?
You sound really petty right now.
I'm not petty. I'm admitting that my initial thoughts on Josh Allen, he outperformed what I thought, and I'm giving the man credit.
I want you to say you were wrong. That's it. Don't say, oh, he outperformed my expectations. I'm Mac Robinson, and I was wrong.
I was wrong about Josh Allen with my
That's all I needed.
Mac, do you think Josh Allen and Baker are at the same level?
I think that Josh Allen is ahead of Baker right now, but I also think that Josh Allen hasn't had to get a new offensive coordinator every single year. So I think that he's farther ahead in development.
It's not even close, man.
I like Baker.
You know I like Baker, but Baker.
It's closer than you think.
I think it depends what kind of offense you're running. I think Baker Mayfield is really good for what the Browns do. He rolls out. He's efficient. He's accurate as hell. Josh Allen is good for their offense. He goes deep and he dunks. You know, he runs around. He's athletic. I think there's just
you give Josh Allen, Nick Chubb, and Kareem Hunt, dude, that team would be a 16-0. Like, they have no running.
Do you hear my dog?
Devin Singletary. No. Devin Singletary and TJ Yeldon as his running backs during the playoffs. He's having to be the main rusher on the team. Like, he's carrying the whole team.
I guess. I think if you put Josh Allen
in
scenario, what he's had to go through, I think he wouldn't be performing any better. And maybe
I'll
even
worse
kind of passes he likes to throw.
I'll put it this way. I have Josh Allen as a top 10 quarterback right now. I have Baker Mayfield just outside of that.
Ouch.
I'm the opposite. But we gotta shut this down. We're over an hour, bro.
I'm throwing hot takes in there last second.
One person watching right now. We've gone way over the limit. We usually like to keep things at 45 minutes and
that's what happens when you get four people.
That's the problem with four people. Yeah. All right. This was the Browns Wire podcast. This is Josh Keighley. You can find me on Twitter at JoshKeighley16. Please give us a like, listen, review. We are available on all streaming sites. Mac, where can they hit you up at? What you got going on? Tell us a little bit about the Browns Brawl.
Yeah. So I got the Browns Brawl podcast going on. You guys can subscribe on all your podcasting platforms. Follow them on Twitter at Browns Brawl. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MacRobinson95. Yeah, that's where you guys can reach me best.
Awesome. Molly?
No, I don't have anything exciting going on, but if you want to hear my biased sports takes and whether I think Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen is more attractive, you can follow me at Pavlonis. I need to change my at. My last name's too hard to spell.
Pavlonis, yeah. I just say Molly Rose. I just feel like that.
Did you tweet out the Josh Allen Baker Mayfield looks thing before? Because I didn't see that.
No, she was saying like.
I tell you what, I did creep on Molly's Twitter a little bit, and she had some hot takes about Ohio State. What, Mac? I have to. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's up.
No, I know. Yeah. Just the phrasing of it's phenomenal.
She had.
The 30-year-old is the one that's creeping on. Okay.
Did you creep on my Twitter, Josh? I got some interesting
stuff. I constantly creep on you.
Dude, I'm a mess, man.
What Ohio State take did I have, though?
No, you were very active. You almost had more Ohio State tweets than Browns tweets. I wanted to talk about Ohio State with you a little bit because, Don, we don't really talk about Ohio State a whole lot because most people we have on here don't really talk about Ohio State. So maybe next time you come on the show, we'll have to dive into that. But, yeah, you had some interesting takes about I think it was like the guy's leaving or something. Or it was about Clemson too.
I think we were talking about, as I said, last year Ohio State lost to Clemson partly due to an unfair call. And this year we beat them. And then I said this year the Browns lost to Kansas City, partly due to an unfair call. Next year, question mark.
All connected. Donovan, where can they hit you up at?
Follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports. Name remains the same. Appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you, Mac. Thank you, Molly. Appreciate it, Josh, as always. Talk again next week.
Are we gonna have a poll to end this like we did last week?
Yeah, let's do one.
What's the poll? Who's better looking, Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen?
Yeah. We can do all four of the quarterbacks.
Well, what? Okay, so what's a favorite?
Tom Brady's gonna win though. So
no, we're just doing the two, bro. Don't complicate. What's a famous band from Cleveland?
Twenty One Pilots.
Oh yeah. Okay, would you rather make out with Baker Mayfield to 21 Pilots or Josh Allen to the Goo Goo Dolls? Boom. That's the poll. Answer on Twitter.
That's really good. Are they the most famous man from Buffalo? The Goo Goo Dolls?
The Goo Goo Dolls are huge. Good stuff.
I'm saying, and I know they're huge. They're a good band. I'm saying nobody else is like, yeah, because it's Buffalo.
I'm ending the broadcast. We don't have to continue to talk about the Goo Goo Dolls.